Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to What's the Word, the show that's about finding what inspires people to succeed in their respective careers. My name is Cheval John, and thank you for joining me. I am broadcasting live from the Hilton America's Houston Hotel here in downtown Houston, where the guest of honor is DJ Ramirez, and she is the social media coordinator for BMC Software, a global software leader in helping transform traditional business to digital companies. Now, you're going to hear about how DJ has built her LinkedIn audience over 36,000 people during her time as a college student at San Jose State University. Now, before we get to this interview, I want to say that this show is sponsored by Vladimir LLC, which is my business company, and it is a marketing agency that helps businesses on how to use social media correctly to build a loyal audience. You can visit the website at www.vladimir.com to find out more about the services that we provide. So without further ado, here is the interview with DJ Ramirez.
DJ Ramirez, welcome to What's the Word.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I'm truly honored. Now, I'm going to start off with an icebreaker question. And the question is, who's your favorite sports team and why?
Okay. I'm sure this doesn't come off as a surprise if you follow me on Twitter or all my social for that matter, but my favorite sports team has to be the Sacramento Kings. And I love them because I was born a Sacramento Kings fan. And as I got older, you know, I dabbed into the social media world, and I've like created this awesome relationship with the Sacramento Kings organization that's made me become, you know, even more of a fan. So they're definitely one of my top favorite things like in the world. Thanks for that question.
That's awesome. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Now, of course, we're going to delve deeper into that, how you know your business friendship with Sacramento Kings later. But first of all, I want to start off. Can you share with us about your role as a social media coordinator for BMC Software?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as a social media coordinator, I do a lot of, planning strategy behind executing our key marketing goals as far as, you know, getting our, promoting our brand out on social. We also want to drive demand to our business. And so I do a lot of publishing content, social engagement, as well as trying to find influencers who we can work with, as well as report all of our metrics, because, you know, social business, you can't just share your story. You want to share how we're helping support our business through social media.
That's really awesome. So now, of course, I gotta delve into this, because what's really interesting is that you actually, you know, did what I guess you college students have done, to where you know, to the point before you graduate, to where now you're working with BMC Software, and that is you actually, you know, you were involved with organizations, but also you actually founded a, you know, a chat called Calm Network while you were a student at San Jose University, State University. And so can you share with us about what led you to do that?
Yeah, so I started my social media, you know, journey at State when I was in college. I started off at the Filipino organization. I was doing public relations, but a lot of it was doing social media promotion for our club. And then I branched off to doing social media and marketing for student government. And then from there, I said, you know what, I want to do something within my department. And I noticed that we didn't have kind of an organization for students to come together to talk about social media and how we can, you know, promote each other and promote our department and all the great things that we're doing. So I was on the social media team for our department, and I decided, yeah, we should open this up to all of our students in the department, and I decided to start a club with two of my other colleagues, Edwin Lee and Nicole, and we basically founded a new club for our department. So it was tons of fun. We got to meet new people and just share, you know, how communication studies, or share what we're learning from communication studies and implementing it into social media and how we can grow and promote ourselves post-college. So it was really fun, and I'm so thankful for my group of friends who helped me launch that club. And I'm actually going back next week to host a social media workshop, so it's fun to see where the club is going since it started.
Wow, that's awesome. So basically, you know, like, for example, like, you know, with the work world, they're looking for college students, you know, college graduates who have work, who have experience, but yet the whole adage is like, how can we gain experience if we don't have work? But what you're sharing is that you actually, you know, you created your own club in a sense, like social media department, where you basically took the initiative to set yourself up to where now you're now working as a social media coordinator for BMC Software. So, So first of all, like, what was the challenge of doing that while you were pursuing your degree?
Yeah, so it definitely was a challenge, you know, going to school full time, and I also had internships, I kind of, like you said, opportunity isn't going to come to you. You kind of have to go create it. And I knew that if I wanted to be where I want to be, I needed to do something other than just go to class. So that's why I got really involved. And when I wanted to set myself apart so that I would have a job when I graduated. And I also know that, like, experience will definitely, like, put you above everyone else when you're applying for these jobs. And it, of course, was a challenge. I didn't get much sleep, but it was definitely worth it. And I think, you know, creating those opportunities, staying up to study, staying up to get things done for your extracurricular activities, it's all going to be worth it at the end. But definitely, like, if you're still in college and you're watching this, take time to grow your resume, not just the classes that you're in, but through experiences that are available on campus. And if they're not available, go create them yourself, and you'll do great things.
All right. Now this is what's really impressive too, because I see that you actually grew your LinkedIn connections basically, and I'll say your followers to 36,547, which I was just really impressed by that. So like, I know that kind of made you like one of the top top accounts on LinkedIn. So first of all, when did you start using LinkedIn, and how did you grow it to where it's at right now?
Yeah, so actually, I think I started my sophomore year of college. I went to, like, a career workshop where they said, you know, if you're not on LinkedIn, you better get on LinkedIn. This is a perfect time as your student. And that's when I started my profile and started to put all my experience up there and, you know, update it frequently as I was doing all these things in college. And then actually started to write on LinkedIn after taking a social business class at San Jose with my professor, Michael Brito. He's awesome. I got Michael Brito. He really helped, you know, kind of let us know, and people, other students like myself, to write on LinkedIn. And I think by us writing on LinkedIn, we shared, you know, what we're learning, and we also gained a following from that. And while I did that, I got another opportunity to be a campus ambassador for LinkedIn. So it was, I got to work with LinkedIn, and that's how I, you know, really built my my following through the blogs I was writing.
Awesome. So how did you get that opportunity, basically? Like, was it, because some might say, oh, it was luck, but I know it was basically putting the work prior to that.
For sure, yeah. Like, I think I said it before, opportunity doesn't come when I was on campus, whenever there was, you know, like when I saw LinkedIn was coming to school, I like was there. I went to the session. Her name is Maya Pope Chappelle. She actually like told San Jose State students about student publishing, and she pretty much pitched the program. But I had also had connections with the Career Center because I would go in every day. You know, I was always proactive and, you know, setting myself up to get these opportunities. So I went to that workshop, and the career advisor lady introduced me to the LinkedIn lady. So it's all about building those connections and creating relationships and taking advantage of opportunities. Because, like, who's going to, if there's, I don't know, I just feel like if there's an opportunity for you to make a connection, especially on campus, you need to go for it. And if you're not, then other people will, and they'll take your spot. So definitely be proactive and attend events that are, you know, given to you.
Awesome. Now, of course, I got to chat a bit now about Snapchat. I mean, in which I know in the, you know, like in the recent, well, recent months or whatever, we've seen Facebook came out with Instagram stories, and then now Facebook Day Messenger. First of all, can you share with us how did you get into Snapchat? And then the second part of the question, can you share with us about implications of these platforms from Facebook to Snapchat?
Yeah, so I think like everyone else, I started on Snapchat when it was just a new app to play with. You know, just doing it for fun with your friends, and as I was on it, and this was like years ago, but Snapchat has grown so much since I first, you know, started on Snapchat, and it is starting to get a little, like, what's the word, it's getting kind of crowded with all the new platforms that are trying to copy Snapchat. This is just speaking on my own opinion, with like Instagram stories and Snapchat stories, and now Facebook. I would honestly stay off of that, but I feel like, you know, just using whichever you're comfortable with, whichever you have most fun with, and where you're getting the most engagement, you know, just keep it authentic, and that's why I stick to Snapchat. And Instagram stories I like too, because I have a big following on Instagram, but for Facebook, I feel like I'm just keeping it with the news and the live video, but and also because it's on mobile, I feel like it's just more fun to be on Snapchat and Instagram. I'm curious to know what you think about it.
Oh, wow. I'll be honest. I'm not using Snapchat anymore because of the fact that I basically, when I switched my phone, you know, I had to go through all the process of verifying my account, and it was with an old phone number. And because I didn't have access to the old phone number, I basically lost my audience. So in that sense, I just, you know, I gave it a shot to try to build up another Snapchat account, but I just said forget it because, you know, it was too tedious for me. So I basically stuck with Instagram stories because of the fact that I didn't have to go through the rigorous process. I just signed in, you know, got back my Instagram account, and so that's the reason for me. That's why I stick with my Instagram stories. But I'll say Snapchat did kind of prepared me for Instagram stories, and Christy Gallantine is really responsible for me using Snapchat because of her Twitter chat called Chat Snap that she started. That's the way how I feel. It's just my personal belief, but I'm on the mindset that you use whatever social media platform that you're comfortable using.
Awesome.
Yeah, so now we're going to get into your Snapchat takeover. And you mentioned that your favorite sports team was the Sacramento Kings, and you actually had the opportunity twice to take over this Snapchat. And so can you first of all share with us about how you got the opportunity to take over this Snapchat account?
Yes, and before I share this story too, I just want to also say that like everything that I've done, I started a long time ago. So when I was in college, I've been a fan, but when I was in college, my junior seminar project was on the Sacramento Kings. I wrote about a communication theory and how it relates to the Sacramento Kings organization. So from years ago, I've been supporting the team on social, and I feel like I've created a relationship with, you know, just tweeting often and them like engaging with me back. Like social media is a two-way conversation. When a brand gets to, or when a brand is constantly engaging with you, it feels so good. It's like awesome. I like fangirl. So basically I've kind of created like a group of friends on Twitter who I tweet at during the game. So it's like I'm watching with a bunch of people at the same time. And for the Snapchat takeover, you know, I just figured, like, hey, let me tweet them and ask, like, can I take over your social media, like, one night? And to my surprise, I got a response, and they brought me to a game and hooked me up with a media pass, and I took over their Snapchat, and it was so cool. I feel like, you know, it gave me the opportunity to kind of learn about their digital media team and how they do so well on social. And, you know, in turn, I wrote about it, and it, you know, it's like a win-win for all of us. And it's pretty much like the best day, one of the best days of my life for sure.
That's pretty awesome, Dave. So basically what you're saying is that you actually interacted with them on social. Mm-hmm. You build that relationship with them over time. And then mm-hmm. when you got the opportunity to ask them, they just said yes to your surprise because they had already known you. Basically, that's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, I think yes, your summary was very true. I feel like having kind of this past and this like built up relationship got me the opportunity. And they probably have seen on my social, like, this girl tweets during the game all the time. She's wrote blogs about us on LinkedIn. You know, why don't we bring her out? And, you know, we all won. And it was, you know, content for me, content for them. And I got to go to a game. So it was definitely awesome. And creating those opportunities, you can't just tweet one time and say, hey, Warriors, can I take over your Snapchat? It doesn't come that way. I feel like it was a really organic, like, authentic opportunity that just happened to work out. So, yeah, that's how that happened.
Okay, so now here's a question I got to ask then. Why do you think that most businesses or really anyone are not taking the time to build that friendship with the potential customers or even like a college student or a prospective job seeker with an employer? Why do you think they're just thinking that they could just post one tweet and they expect something?
Because people don't, I don't know, I feel like it really does take time to build that relationship. And I feel like companies who do have it right, they do see the value in customer engagement. I feel like you and I, you've seen my tweets when I say, like, hey, Hawaiian Airlines, they helped me out because I tweeted them. And, you know, that's like, I'm going to give them more business because they helped me and they, you know, reached out to me on social. So I feel like company, you have to try to engage on social to actually create something for ROI of the business and for a happy customer. And if you don't take the time to do that, then I feel like there's missed opportunities, there's missed business. So definitely I feel like it's an area where companies should be more, you know, more time and see the value in. There are a lot of companies, though, who I know have, like, customer care for social. There's, like, social support where if someone's complaining about a product, there's someone on the other side ready to give them a response. So there's companies who are doing it and others who are missing opportunities. But social is like a new customer care opportunity for sure.
Okay. So now you mentioned a few. Who else in your mind do you think is using social media correctly to build that loyal audience?
Yeah, well, Hawaiian Airlines, I've tweeted them a few times. Sacramento Kings, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. And also for the Sacramento Kings, like, when someone is complaining at the game, like, they'll change their experience. So real-time customer engagement is really, really unique and awesome. I would also say, like, Chipotle, they do a good job, too, of, like, just engaging with you. I feel like any good brand who has a team to engage with them is bringing value to their business. So those would be my top. I'm pretty biased about the Kings, but yeah.
Wait. You said Chipotle. Really? So can you share more about that, because that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Really?
Yes.
I think I just, like, I saw a tweet, and they have, like, funny tweets. And I think it's a good tactic, too, given their, you know, their recent past, because I feel like their target demographic are people on social. And, you know, when that stuff happened, people were probably tweeting about it. Now they're trying to, you know, change their perspective of Chipotle. So I feel like their social has been great, as that they're, you know, trying to make something better out of something bad that happened. And, you know, I retweeted them. I think I tweeted them, like, this is so funny. And they even had, like, a game app where they would do, like, a buy one, get one free day, and I would find this out on social. You know, I would tweet it, and they would say, like, you know, glad we can make your day or something. They would just respond to my tweet. So, you know, it doesn't really matter what, like, how often, but just one engagement can really change a customer's day, and I feel like it's good for the business.
Okay. All right. So now I gotta ask this question. What's that?
I said you need to follow their Twitter. They're pretty funny.
Okay. I guess I probably will now after this report. So yeah. Okay. So now what about live streaming? What have you seen over the last few months, what years about the change in the world of live streams?
You know, I've seen live streams do well, like what we're doing right now. I feel like podcasts are a great thing to live stream. I follow this podcast, the Juice and Mo podcast, and they're a sports talk, like a sports podcast. And, you know, going live, I get to actually, you know, see their faces, see their reactions, their enthusiasm, like, while they're speaking. So that's why I like the idea of live broadcasting. Also, like, for me personally, I've had, like, when I'm out somewhere cool, like, let's say I'm at, like, an art museum and there's something cool going on, I'll live stream it just for other people to see. But, you know, there's other opportunities you can do to live stream, too, like for keynotes, for a conference. You know, while you're at an event, if you want to do, like, a man on the street type of live stream, that's cool too. So I feel like there's a lot of ways that live streaming can take off in social, and I think we're just starting. So I'm excited to see how companies, you know, make the most of live video, as it is going to be a big thing this year.
Wow. Okay. That's really awesome. Yeah, so now I normally will give broadcasters or performers to ask me a question on the show, but I'm going to allow you to ask me a question here. So fire away.
Yeah, I would say, what got you into starting off your podcast? You know, I feel like it takes, like, just before we went live, you were talking about, you know, pursuing your passion and starting this business. So I want to know, like, what made you decide to go for it?
Doing a podcast? For me, it was, I wanted to lift up the most powerful and influential people in the world. That was one of my motivations to start the podcast. And I guess over time, I just, like, was learning, I've been learning that you basically, you know, got to, you know, don't really chase the influence of the book, even though like my audience was to try to lift them up even more. But I realized you had to like start with people that you know, like build your friendships over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've learned. And then of course now, you know, seeing the emergence of live streaming, I, you know, started to see the opportunity to quote unquote record your podcast in front of a live audience, quote unquote. So that's what really got me excited about doing live streaming, using platforms, and then of course seeing the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just made me, you know, I guess it just kept me adapt, you know, but of course, sticking with the platform to put out the podcast is one of the most constant, despite the changing of our live stream platforms, so.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I want to commend you for the engagement that you do on social. I feel like, you know, a lot of people can say we don't have time to like engage or whatever, but you actually make the time to, you know, tweet about other people, and you're really building your network. So props to you for everything you've done and all that you've accomplished, and I know that this will be awesome as you move forward. So yeah, just wanted to say you rock.
Thank you, DJ, and so do you. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, you actually took the initiative, you know, to basically be where you're at. You basically didn't allow any excuse, like saying, you know, you're studying or whatever, you know, studying classes, you got to get the grade. You didn't allow that to stop you. You just took whatever opportunity that came your way, and that's why you're where you're at right now. And that's why I think many people need to see it.
Thank you.
So, and of course, here's a question. Like, I know you've taken part in, like who was your mentor, per se?
Well, I feel like I've had a lot of mentors, through my different experiences. You know, I started off in a club in college, and then I went off to student government, where I feel like I had, you know, like peers who mentored me. You know, we were all starting our little social media marketing careers in college, and you know, watching them grow really helped. So my peers were my mentors. Even, you know, our bosses who were marketing executives at San Jose State, they were my mentors because they gave me the opportunity to create stuff and go off and, you know, grow our Twitter, DJ, you know, go for it. And that, it was great to have that kind of support. And then also I had my professors were my mentors. My professors who taught, my professor Michael Brito, who taught me my social business class, he was a professor, but he like really genuinely cared about our success, which I think, you know, left a mark on me. And my professors within my department, you know, I've had a ton. I studied abroad. That was a whole nother experience, and I thank my professor for that. My professor, who was our lead for the social media team, who also was our advisor for my club, I consider him a great mentor throughout my whole college career. So thank you, Ted Koopman. But I've had many, and I feel like it's good to have multiple mentors sometimes, because you get different perspectives in different areas. So if you can, you know, get as many mentors as you can.
Okay, so now I gotta ask a question, because you just mentioned you studied abroad. First of all, what was that? How did that change? How did that change your worldview? And basically, how did it kind of prepare you?
Yeah, so while I was in college, I had the travel bug to study abroad, and it wasn't expensive. And I had three places that I could go to, and I decided to go to Beijing to study tourism at a communication college in China. And it was awesome because it gave me something to work towards. I did not have the funding for it. Studying abroad is expensive. So I planned a basketball tournament fundraiser on my 21st birthday. So again, I had to make it happen. If I wanted to study abroad, I had to do something. So like 3 months before my birthday, I started planning. I got my friends to play. I charged them. And, you know, instead of birthday presents, I asked for support for me to study abroad. And so when I finally got there, it felt so nice to say I did it and I'm learning, and it opened up a whole new world to me that, you know, like it opened my eyes that the world is so big. I got to learn more about myself. Like I got lost in China and I was like, who cares that I'm lost in China? I found my way home, and, you know, it's not just about the academics. I gained a lot of experience. It helped me become who I am today to just, you know, want to, like, if you're lost, it's okay. It's going to be okay. But studying abroad was an awesome experience, and I definitely recommend it to anyone in college.
Awesome. And just curious, how long were you in China for?
I was in China for a month. It was a summer program, and then I went to the Philippines for a month after.
Okay. Excellent. Awesome. That's really cool. Kudos to you. That's really amazing there. So now, 3 more questions. If you had the opportunity to spend one day with someone you admire, past or present, to learn from, who would that person be?
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a hard question. Someone to learn from, spend a day with. I might have to pass. I couldn't think of anyone. You know, there's a lot of people I look up to. I feel like if you'll let me answer this way, I would love.
Okay, go ahead.
I would love to meet someone, past or present, who left their, you know, who followed their dreams, followed their passions. I feel like, you know, I could, you know, as a recent graduate, I just love to hear everyone's stories. I can't pick one. Sorry.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough there. Was it?
Who's yours?
Oh, you. Wow.
See, it is
okay.
Hard.
you just took. Okay. Nice one. Oh, boy. Well. Boy. I would say Tamara McClary.
Nice. Because?
Because she was my coach, quote unquote, last year that helped me transition my business to what it is right now. And, you know, of course, seeing her basically reinvent herself in the last so many years, and seeing where she's at right now, she would be one person I would like to spend time with, you know, to learn the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur.
That's awesome. See, but it was hard.
Yep. Yeah. You're right about that. So, definitely. So now, where can people find out more about your work at VMC Software, and also the best way to connect?
Yeah, I would say follow me on LinkedIn. Go ahead and shoot me a message, say that you watch us, and I'll be happy to connect and talk more. I also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's just EJ Ramirez XO, and I have all my social channels as well.
Awesome. Well, DJ Ramirez, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. And once again, I'm truly honored. Do you have any final words for our audiences watching this or who will be listening later?
Yeah, to anyone watching this, my advice or my favorite quote is that if it's not okay, it's not the end, because in the end, it's going to be okay. And basically, I just want you guys to remember to create your opportunities and go for it and dream big.
DJ Ramirez again, thank you for joining me on What's the Word.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that interview with DJ Ramirez. And if you want to find out more about her work, you can visit her website at www.djramirezexpo.com. And also, you can follow her on LinkedIn as well. But, you know, at linkedin.com and under her same name. And follow her on Twitter as DJ Ramirez Expo to find out more about, to see more of her work as well. Well, everyone, if you missed this episode live, it'll be archived on Google Play Music and Stitcher. And you can visit my company's website, Valamia, at www.valamia.com/podcast-2 to listen to this episode and other past episodes of this show. So please check it out. Well, everyone, thank you again for joining me on What's the Word. This show is about finding out what inspires people to succeed in their respective careers. My name is Cheval John. Be real and be independent. And we're leaving now with Crystal Earl's Just People. And we'll see you guys on next Tuesday afternoon.
Hey.